Our gospel reading is found in Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 and following. And Matthew writes this: "Immediately, Jesus made disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat began worshiping him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning I want to continue this series with "He Still Touches Lies," thinking about "He Still Calms the Storm." First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this police officer that was running radar on California Route number 22, and he saw a car going incredibly slow. It was going so slow that all the other cars were veering around it, and it was a danger, so he decided to pull him over. And so he pulled the car over, and he walked up, and there was a group of little old ladies in the car and a little old lady driving. And so she said to the police officer, "What's the problem, officer?" And he said, "Well, you know, you're going awfully slow." And she said, "Well, I'm going exactly the speed limit. It's 22 miles an hour." He said, no, that's not the speed limit. That's the route sign." And so he looked in the back and he saw the little old ladies in the back seat seem kind of pale and anxious and scared. And so he said, "Is everything okay, ladies?" And they said, "Well, we'll be okay in a little bit. We just got off route 119. Well, this morning we're going on a bit of a wild ride as well, only not in a car in California, but in a boat in Galilee. And I want to think about Jesus calming the sea and think about that as an image in our lives as well, as we do face some storms in life. And the first thing I want to think about is this scene before the storm. And it's a beautiful scene. Jesus is overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching disciples. Now, here's a few pictures of the Sea of Galilee and the mountainside around there. And so it says that Jesus was teaching the people and looking out of the sea. And it says that Jesus sent the disciples out into the boat across the sea. And you know, when you think about that for a moment, I mean, if you're like me, you're wondering, well, I mean, didn't Jesus know the storm was coming? I mean, didn't he worry about the disciples? And it must have seemed calm, but because the disciples were, some of them were fishermen. They knew stormy weather. They knew the dangers of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus still sent them across the sea. And maybe Jesus knew what was happening. And I think in our own life, you know, sometimes we go into a place in our life and there's a danger of storm. And we wonder, why didn't God spare us from that moment in life where it seems so difficult and adverse? And the truth is, I think that sometimes that Jesus meets us in a storm in a way that Jesus would never meet us in calm waters. I think the disciples were about ready to learn a lesson they couldn't learn anywhere else but on the storm of the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus sends them out there, and we're told that Jesus went to the mountaintop in prayer, and there's lots of mountains there. And we're told, in fact, that Jesus spent the whole day in prayer. The rest of the day, Jesus spent in prayer. And I think in our own lives, we need to seek strength like Jesus did in prayer. And it's not just in church, but in our life throughout the week. We need a time to strengthen our life and a time of deep drawing from the well that we can only find in prayer. And if Jesus needed time in prayer, then surely we need time in prayer as well. And so it says this: immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead onto the other side. And he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain to pray by himself. When evening came, he was still there alone. And I want to think in our own lives about the storms that you may have faced in life. And sometimes we think, where was God? I think the truth is, when we think about that image, that Scripture tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and is interceding for us. I think just like when the disciples were in that lake in the boat and the storm was coming, that Jesus was praying for them on the mountainside. praying that they would be strong and knowing that he would be there present with them. And I think in the same way, as we face storms in life, that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's present with us and seeking God in prayer. And so there's the before the storm scene, and then there's the in the storm. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat in a storm. Anyone been in a boat in a storm? It's not an easy thing. Or maybe you've seen a boat in a storm. I once was up in windy weather. It was kind of stormy weather in Lake Michigan. And you know, the harbor in Lake Michigan and Washington Park there, there's a lighthouse that goes out, and there's a breaker wall, and there's a gap between the lighthouse and the breaker wall. And as I was looking out there, I was sitting on a recliner chair and lounge chair, and the waves were kind of breaking over the breaker wall, which is never a good sign, you know. So that's a good 5-foot wave and pretty good swells, and no one was on the lake. And then I saw this guy with this really nice sailboat, you know, 30-plus-foot sailboat. I mean, just, you know, love to have something like that. And he pulls out of the harbor, and he begins sailing towards that. And I thought to myself, and his wife's kind of on the deck relaxing. I'm thinking to myself, you idiot, what are you thinking? He must just going to be inside the breaker wall. He'll never try to go out and pass the lighthouse. But sure enough, and the waves were tossing, and he must have just thought, you know, my boat is expensive enough, and my boat is big enough, and I'm got enough money that I don't have to worry about a storm. But he was wrong. I mean, he just as soon as he crossed between the lighthouse and the breaker, that boat, that huge sailboat, began to just bob like a cork in the sea, and you could see him just fighting these waves, and the waves were breaking over it, and he got, you know, maybe about 30 yards out, just enough safe enough to turn that thing around, and then he came right back in. And later I was getting a cup of coffee at the little cafe there, and I started to tell the woman inside about this idiot who went out in the boat and what happened to him, and she was laughing. In the middle of the story, this guy walks in, and she didn't know who he was, and she said, "So who was that idiot that went out on this water?" And the guy said, "It was me." And his wife was right next to him, shaking her head, said, "We'll never do that again." And you know, sometimes you think about, well, storms aren't that much, but I mentioned before that in 1986, because of the receding waters of the Sea of Galilee at the time, that they recovered a first century boat, and this is the archaeological remains of that boat, and then they used that information. It's mostly wood, but it's mostly oak and cedar, and they reconstructed a couple models of that boat, and this one's 27 feet long and 7 feet wide. Most of them were apparently between 27 and 30 feet long and about 7 to 8 feet wide and about a 4-foot deep bulkhead. And then they had a square mast sail. So, and of course, you got to remember they didn't have motors or anything like that. So it's a good size boat, and it has a capacity of about 15 people. So when you think about that boat for a moment, that Jesus sent them across the Sea of Galilee with 12 disciples, it was near capacity. Now, if you know much about boats, or even if you don't, you know that if you're near capacity, the boat starts to draw down closer into the water. That means that you're less able to handle the boat and more likely to be swamped by the waves if you have more people in it. So they were near capacity. And so, well, you know, they're near capacity. And in the middle of night, this storm swept in. Now, Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, is known for storms that come quickly. In fact, they have a phenomenon known as clear air turbulence, a CAT, they sometimes call it, that a storm can brew out of nowhere with even no clouds. And so it was prone to these kinds of things. And it's not that deep compared to many seas. And so the storm can sweep quickly and have tremendous waves. In fact, some of the waves are well over 10 feet high, which is a good size wave and well over the size of this boat. And when you think about that, I mean, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they were fishermen. So they knew something about sailing. They also knew what they were in a problem when a problem came. And so there they are in the teeth of this storm, and it says that they're scared. And when you get fishermen scared, they're scared for a good reason. And so listen to what it says. And after he dismissed his crowds, he went to the mountain to pray. When even came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, I mean, Matthew, who wrote this gospel, who was an eyewitness, who was there, is extreme when he says it. It's battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. That's not what you want either. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And I think that's a beautiful image. You think about the disciples in this tremendous storm and the night and what that must have felt like. And you can see Da Vinci's great painting of this scene and what it must have been like and how terrifying it must have been because they were far from shore and could easily have drowned and been swamped. And in the middle of this, Jesus comes walking to them on the water, and Jesus knows they're in the storm, and Jesus knows where they are. I think in our own lives, when we're in the storm sometimes and things seem like no one knows where we are, we're in the middle of nowhere and God has got us into the middle of something that is well beyond us, that Jesus knows where we are. Jesus knows how to find us. And I think Jesus comes to us with those very same words. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And I hope you bring your Bible Sunday morning because I mean, we probably won't get too upset if you underline the ones in the pews there, but you know, this is a verse to underline and to put a marker in your Bible when you're facing a storm, and maybe it's a financial storm, maybe it's a relationship storm, maybe it's an illness, maybe it's just things just seem out of control, that you can go to this and read the story about Jesus and disciples and read Jesus' words and hear Jesus speak those words to you and to me. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And so in the middle of the storm, Jesus comes to us, and then Jesus stills the storm. It's a beautiful picture, and even on the shore in 1992, waves were so high, they were over 10 feet high, and they swept in the town of Tiberias on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, causing incredible damage. And so this time we're told that they're out in the middle lake where the waves are much, much bigger and much more dangerous to a boat. And it's early in the morning, and they see what they think is a ghost. Now, at first, you got to think that they're probably even more terrified when they thought it was a ghost. And then they begin to think it's Jesus, and then they hear Jesus calm them and say, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And then Peter said something. You know, Peter was the impetuous one. He's the one that kind of said before he thought. And so he said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out of the water." Now, probably he must have thought just after he said that, that wasn't the best thing to say. And the other disciples probably looked at him and said, "Whoa, dude, you know, what are you thinking?" But the words were already out. And so Jesus said, "Come." Jesus calls him out. And so Peter, he's impetuous. He jumps out of the boat. And the other disciples cling to the boat like most of us would be doing. And so Peter begins to walk on the water. He begins to walk on the water. And then it says, but. You know what I mean? And there's always that, you know, that word, the but. But the winds and the waves. Peter begins to look at the winds and waves rather than the face of Jesus. And when he does that, he begins to sink into the stormy waters. And I think in our own lives, sometimes we look at the storm rather than the Lord. And when we focus on the storm rather than the Lord, then the waves begin to overtake us. And Peter did what most of us would do. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." You know, that's not the most eloquent prayer in the world. It's not the most theological, but you know, it's a prayer that works. And sometimes we get too caught up in all the eloquence and all the mechanics of prayer, and sometimes what we just need to do is cry out from our heart to the Lord and know that God will be there for us, and that's exactly what happened to Peter. Jesus reached down and pulled him up, and immediately they were in the boat, and immediately the winds calmed. And Jesus said this, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? Well, I think most of us would doubt, wouldn't we? And Jesus is kind of encouraging him and trying to strengthen him and all the disciples, but I think in that moment you have to realize that Jesus didn't really scold Peter, he just encouraged him. And in that moment when they saw the storm calm, they said, "Truly, this is the Son of God," and that had to be a moment that strengthened their faith the rest of their lives. And I think it's true that in our lives, sometimes Jesus allows us to sail into the storms bigger than us. Bigger winds, bigger waves, because when he meets us there, his presence is there in a powerful way, then our faith is strengthened, his presence is more real than any other time, and our life is transformed. And it's not just a time to strengthen our lives, but it becomes a moment of ministry for us, because later when we see someone else in a storm, then we can encourage them in the same way. I mean, Peter, years and years later, and this had to be a source probably, this probably was everyone else's favorite story about Peter except for Peter's. Am I right? Have you ever had that story where everyone loved the story where you messed up and did this crazy thing and I can't believe it happened, and then you walk up and everybody stops talking and they're kind of snickering and, you know, you knew it was telling the story about you, right? And probably all the disciples loved this story about Peter except for Peter. But Peter took encouragement and strength from this, and later on, he could write to a church in persecution. He could write these words that Kemet read earlier from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, where he said this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time." In other words, sometimes the winds and waves are too much for you, but Jesus can reach down and pull you up. And he says these great words, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And you know, when the winds and waves are too much for us, and we know they're too much for us, and our doubt and anxiety are so great, then it's time to just put those on Jesus. Put those on the shoulders of Jesus. So sometimes we're before the storm and we need to pray, and know that when we're in the storm, Jesus is praying for us, and Jesus knows where we are. And Jesus can come and seek us, and Jesus also calms the storm. You know, I was down in Henryville after the tornado, and I know some people from here went down there as well, and so I was working to fix up some of the homes down there, and we began to go to the lunch in the middle of the day, and the little diner had just opened, and so we began to talk to the people there about some of the things that had happened, and it was amazing, some of the stories, but one story in particular caught my attention, and it was later in the photo book that came out about Henryville. And so this little boy was with his grandparents, and the tornado headed towards them, and they ran into this barn. It's not the best barn. It's one of those, you know, semi-circular ones, that, you know, kind of metal and from World War II, and so that's all they had. So they ran into there, and they sought shelter, and they heard this tornado coming, and this little boy was just held by his grandma, and the tornado just shook this barn. And later on, the little boy said how that they were praying, and he felt these two sets of arms around him. He felt his grandma and his grandfather holding him so tightly, and he felt so safe in the storm. And the grandmother said, well, you know, that's impossible, because I had my arms around you, but your grandpa was holding the door of the barn to make sure it didn't get blown off. And he said, no, he said, I felt two sets of arms around me. And they believe it was an angel of the Lord that just sort of wrapped their arms around him and kept them safe in the storm. And I think that's sometimes the way it is with us, even though we might not realize that an angel is there, that the presence of the Lord is there with us stronger each and every day. I'm going to close with this thought. And some time ago, back in the 1800s, there's a woman named Cecil Frances Alexander, and she was an outstanding young woman in Ireland, and she and her sister operated a school for the deaf. And she was talented at writing songs, and so she wrote over 400 songs and had them published, and the money from those hymns went to support the school for the deaf. And she happened to marry a pastor, and his name was William Alexander. The pastor was so impressed by her hymns, he told her that he was going to preach on the calling of the disciples. So he asked her to write a hymn about that. And so she began to read some of the stories of the calling disciples, and this was one of them. And so her great hymn became Jesus Calls Us. And these were the words that she wrote as she thought about this image. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toils and hours of ease, still he calls, in cares and pleasures, Christians love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, make us hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience, serve and love thee best of all. You know, Jesus still calms the storms today. Whatever our storms are, financial difficulties, relationship difficulties, illness, loss of a loved one, Jesus comes in the fiercest storms, and his presence can be there with us. And so, like Peter, sometimes as we're reaching out, we just need, even if we feel we're sinking, to reach out to the Lord and call to him, and Jesus will bring peace in a powerful way. So I invite us to seek God into the storm and find his calming peace. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, sometimes we do face some storms in life. Things that seem to threaten to overwhelm us and to batter our lives. Yet we know that you're there with us, praying for us, reaching out to us, and your presence can hold us through the storm, and your presence can calm the storm. Whichever it is, we know that your arms of mercy and grace and peace are around us, strengthening us. We pray also that in our strengthening from you, that we will be able to encourage others when their storm comes. Help us each every day to grow in faith and to be reminded that you still calm the storms of life. In Jesus' name, amen.